tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Keith and your wife. It was wonderful singing tonight. Blessed my heart. I appreciate that. Great congregational singing, Brother Clint. Just wonderful to be here. It is an honor for me to stand where Brother Greg stands every Sunday to preach the Word of God. And I am humbled. I mean that. It's been a long time since I've been here. Probably I was a teenager. So I was a lot thinner and had a lot more hair. So things have changed. But it's always good to be here at Pleasant Hill. And it's an absolute honor, and I'm humbled to be with you tonight. I'm going to invite you tonight to take God's Word, if you would, and turn to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43 tonight. If you'll be finding that, it's also good to have Brother Paul Flynn. I appreciate Brother Paul, local pastor right there in the same area. I always love to aggravate Brother Paul, but I'm telling you, he is a pastor to a lot of folks besides those in his congregation and visits folks, and I appreciate him. Love to aggravate him, but I appreciate him. And I appreciate you being here tonight. You know, there's a lot of places folks could be on a Sunday night, but you're here tonight. Boy, I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate the faithful people of God that will come and be a part and see what God is up to. And to come, and I just pray God would meet with us tonight. Isaiah chapter number 43, I'm going to be looking at verse number 14. And if you are physically able, I'm going to invite you to stand tonight. If you're physically able to stand, because I want to honor God's Word as we stand. You're not standing for me, we're standing for God's Word. I want you to hear me tonight. I'm just a vessel. It is the Word of God that's able to change hearts. Right. It's the Word of God that's able to implant into your heart and do a work if we'll let Him, which is the Holy Spirit in us, do a work tonight. So I pray you listen closely to the Word of God. As Isaiah the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel, but I believe also we can apply it to us tonight. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the armor, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. I want you to listen closely to verse 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to share with you this thought tonight, a time of new beginnings. Would you pray with me? Father, tonight we come, we're just grateful for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank you, God, for this sweet church and the wonderful pastor and his wife as they faithfully come in and out here, God, at Pleasant Hill and serve these dear people. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful music we've had in a time of fellowship. But Lord, right now I pray in the power of your Holy Spirit, you will take your word, God, that we have read tonight, and would you preach through me, God, your truth exactly to the heart of these your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You might be seated tonight. I believe as you look through the Word of God, we find this great truth. Our God is a God of new beginnings. Our God is a God of fresh starts and really giving us those clean slates. I love reading through the Word of God and finding men like Jonah who had found themselves running from the presence of God, but God continued to pursue him. And when Jonah got his heart right with God, I love what the Bible says. The Bible says the Word of the Lord came to him a second time. God gave him a new beginning, a fresh start. I love reading about Peter. Peter had a lot of problems like I do, foot and mouth disease, always putting his foot in his mouth. Peter denied the Lord. Peter walked a distance away from the Lord. But when Peter came back, Peter brokenhearted came back to the Lord. The Lord came to him and recommissioned him and gave him a second chance. As I think about that, what does it mean to have a new beginning? It means to bring vitality and life back. It means to start over. It means to grow again. I want to ask you a question tonight and ask yourself this question. Would you say your life is full of life and growth, progress and joy and hope and peace? Would you say that you're experiencing the favor and smile of God? Or would you say, no, sir, that's not me at all? If I got real honest, and by the way, you all look great to me. I mean, you look wonderful. But I'm talking about deep down in your heart. I'm talking about when you get along with God tonight, is there joy? Is there peace? Is there hope springing up in your heart? Are you growing in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you need a new beginning? I dare say that's revival's all about. Yeah. Revival is new beginnings. It is God bringing a fresh touch. Yeah. That's exactly what God was speaking to the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel. The book of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, the prophet Isaiah began to prophesy to the nation of Israel. He began to tell them because of their sin, God was going to bring them into captivity by a nation of Babylon. And he began to share with them if they would turn, if they would move their heart back to God, God would move in their life. But we know that's not the case. They would not heed the warnings of Isaiah the prophet and others who said, turn back to God. The invasion's coming. They would not listen. And as a result, they found themselves in captivity. But I am so grateful, Isaiah chapter 40 to the end of this book, God begins to use Isaiah to bring hope and encouragement. As a matter of fact, he begins to speak hope to them even before they went into captivity. Now, everybody look at me for a minute. I want you to hear this. God will allow us to find ourselves in trouble because if we don't listen to the prophet of God, we don't listen to the word of God, we don't listen to the spirit of God, we'll find ourselves in trouble. But I'm so glad to know that he has not given up on us. There is still hope for us. There's still hope. And listen, the entire from chapter 40 through the end of the book is a message of hope of saying, God's not done with you. You're going to go into captivity. But even in captivity, I'm going to work in your life if you'll let me. I'm so grateful for the hope that we see. In these verses in 14 and following, he began to say, once you go into captivity, I want you to know something. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to bring you out. He takes their mind back to the captivity they were at in Egypt. That's where you see these words that he uses, making a path in the mighty waters, talking about the chariots, talking about the horses and all these things he's saying. Remember back how I delivered you out of Egypt? Remember when your people were in bondage in Egypt and I led you out? I'm going to do the same thing to bring you out once again out of Babylonian captivity. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to bring you hope. Why do they need this? You know why? Because the Bible says they were fearful. How do you know they were fearful, preacher? I'm not a smart man. But you look through Isaiah 40 through these last couple of chapters, you'll hear Isaiah say this a lot, fear not. Now, why in the world would he say fear not if they were not afraid? They were fearful. They were worried. You might even say they were depressed. I've got to believe some of them were wondering as they found themselves in captivity and begin to look back to the message of Isaiah and thinking about wondering, will it ever change? Will things ever get any better? Is it ever going to be any different? I just wonder tonight, is there anybody in the house that would say, I wonder sometimes, are things ever going to get any better at my house? Are things ever going to get any better in this community? Are things ever going to get better in my walk with the Lord? Sometimes we find ourselves, listen to me, even Christians are depressed.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, you sure do preach fast. I sure do. I'm sorry. I've tried to slow down. It just doesn't work. So I'm going to have to ask you to listen quick, all right?
Yeah. Bless you, Lord.
Christians get depressed. Christians get down and discouraged. They long for a different time. They long for a time when they knew that God's favor was upon them. They found themselves in captivity. As a matter of fact, God had told them in this passage, in verses 8 down through 13, he said, I desire to use you as my witnesses. I desire to use you as a way of showing the world my power and my glory. But you kept hiding out. And you wouldn't let me because you were depressed, fearful, and discouraged. You know what happens when we get that way as Christians? We isolate ourselves and then we insulate ourselves. Right. What do you mean by insulate? I mean, isolate means we kind of say, you know what? I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me. I'm going to isolate myself. Then we insulate. What do I mean by insulate? He said you're hiding out. The word insulate means that you just kind of shelter in. You ever heard this terminology from the weathermen? Shelter in place, there's a tornado coming. I mean, I grew up at Skitch Mountain and we had the storm shelters inside the banks of the property. People would have their storm shelters right there inside of the banks. But then we don't have that, but we've got a basement. And my wife wants to go to that basement as soon as the sirens start flying. And I've got an associate pastor, and he comes because he didn't have a basement. And they're sheltering in place and pointing higher with the door open going, we don't see anything. I don't see anything coming. We're going up in the tornado, maybe not the rapture. But anyway, sometimes we shelter in place as a church.
Yeah. True.
We say, you know what? There's no use. What's the use? Let's just shelter in place, enjoy our time here, knowing we can't really make a difference out there. And God said, that's not what I want for you. I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you to get ready to quit. I don't want you thinking it's not going to happen again. I don't want you to shelter in place. He said, I want to bring you a new beginning. I understand the primary applications to the nation of Israel. And I'm not saying we're Israel, but I'm telling you the Word of God is profitable for all of us. And I'm going to tell you there is an application even to us that God's desiring to do a new thing in our hearts. Yeah. He's desiring to give us a new beginning, a fresh start. I want to show you two things. First, I want to show you God's side of this and then our side. What is God's side? God said, I want you to remember who I am. He began to give titles to his people. Listen to the titles he says in verse 14. He says, thus saith the Lord. That Lord, it means supreme one. Anytime you see in Scripture the word Lord capitalized, it means he is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. Well, I wish I had time to dig in to the names of God, Jehovah, throughout Scripture. Let's just say this. He is all powerful.
Amen. Amen.
He says, I'm your Redeemer. I'm so grateful that he's our Redeemer. I'm grateful that God's got all power to save folks and change lives. Listen, if I didn't believe God could still save folks, I'd lay my Bible down and I'd quit preaching. I know God's still able to save folks and change lives. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
Do y'all still believe God's able to save folks today? Amen. I do. I'm telling you, I don't care how things change in the world around us. It still takes the blood. It still takes the Redeemer to buy us back.
Yes.
He is our King. He said, I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. You know, that's important for us to know. I don't know about you, but you look around the rulers we've got in this world today, it's enough to drive us crazy. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody ever get frustrated with our leaders?
Yeah.
But I'm here to say this right now. Our King is not in Washington. He's not in Atlanta. He's not even in the courthouse in Cleveland. He is on the throne of heaven. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, listen, God's not dead. He's not weak. He's not even asleep, and he's not old.
Yeah, amen.
It's high time we get back to believing. You see what happens to us? We get to thinking, well, you know, things have changed. Listen, things have changed. Yes, it's more difficult at times. Yes, there's times it seems like folks don't listen. But I'm here to tell you, my God is still able.
Amen.
He said, you need to be reminded of who I am. He said, I'm the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. He is the only one that can bring about change.
Yeah.
See, there's two things that we need to remember. Our only hope is God. Some people say that's bad news. No, that's good news. Our only hope is God. Because he's able. He's able to bring about change. Notice in verse 18, 19, how many times he uses the word I will do a new thing. Verse 20, I will give waters in the wilderness. Verse 21, I form people for myself. I'm going to tell you, he alone has the power to make change. See, I can't save folks. You can't save folks. We can't heal. Listen, you know what happens so many times, and I don't know if you do this to your pastor, but it happens to me, and I love our people. I want to pray for them, but I want you to understand something. I am nobody's Savior.
Amen.
I can't save anybody. I can't save marriages. I can't save relationships. I will pray with you. I will encourage you. But my best bet is to take you to Jesus because he's the only one that can make lasting change. He's the only one that can make lasting change. It's not in the power of men. It's in the power of God. He says, I want you to remember who I am. I want you to remember what I've done. He said, you remember how I delivered you out of Egypt? Do you remember the things I've done in your life? It'd do us good tonight to think back to the blessings of God.
Yeah.
Maybe you find yourself in a rut. Maybe you find yourself, you need a fresh touch. Hey, let's be honest with you folks. Let's just get honest before God. We go through seasons of life as a Christian.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I mean, if y'all don't start nodding your head a little bit, I'm coming back there where y'all are at. I'm just telling you. Now listen, I'm saying, don't we? I mean, just like life, we go through seasons as well. Sometimes we go through dry seasons.
Right.
It's good for us to look back and say, God, I remember when I was going through that dry season one time before and you saw me through. God, I remember when I was weak and couldn't make it and you helped me. God, I remember when I needed a miracle and you brought yourself through. It'd do us good to be reminded of the power and presence of Almighty God. But listen to me, not only what He's done, what He desires to do now. Right. Now you say, preacher, you're about to contradict yourself because I see what it says there on verse 18. Stay with me. Look right there, it says again. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You say, wait a minute, preacher. He just told them about Egypt and delivering them. Now it says, don't remember those things. Don't consider them. Stay with me. He wants them to be reminded of who He is and what He's done. But stay with me. He don't want them to dwell to the point that they don't think He can do it again.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Right.
See, because I'm all about looking back. And my wife and daughter tell me that I get sentimental easily. And boy, I can look back and I can get teary-eyed. I mean, I cry at Christmas commercials. That's the honest truth. I really do. I mean, I can get sentimental with the best of folks. There's nothing wrong with looking back. There's nothing wrong with thinking back to the blessings of God and the goodness of God. But if we're not careful, we'll just live there and not think that God's been able to do it right now.
Amen.
He said, I want to do it now in this place. That word consider means don't just grab a hold of it that you can't embrace what I'm doing now. That you so embrace the past that you can't embrace what I'm doing right now. Now in this place. Because I want to tell you something. It's high time we believe that God's able to do it again.
Yes.
God's able to do it in 2015.
Amen.
Oh yeah, times have changed. Well, I thank God for that. I thought when I pulled up, I thought, boy, no doubt the many revivals that's been in this church. No doubt the people that have been saved. No doubt the people that have prayed and gone, as our brother told us in the prayer room, go off in the field and pray and come back. Boy, thank God for those times. I mean that. I'm not minimizing. Boy, I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for the memories. But I'm here to tell you, God's not dead. God's not through. He can do it again right here in this community just like He has before.
Amen.
The word new, He says, don't make monuments to the point that you forget that I'm still alive. I will do a new thing right now. It means in the present, in the moment. That word new speaks of restoring to freshness, a vigor, a revival. See, that's why when we go through those seasons of dryness, we need the moving of God. I'm not talking about working something up.
No.
I'm talking about the Spirit of God moving in such a way that it brings a freshness. Brother Greg said he preached about the rain falling. That's what we're talking about. That restoration, that renewal in our heart. We've witnessed it. I mean, you tell me there's not a creek bed somewhere in these county parks that's not had some water flowing through it the last couple days? Y'all right?
Yeah.
I mean, every ditch looks like a river. In Israel, they would have the rainy seasons. And when it was during times of dryness, they'd have those riverbeds that just be dry and parched. And what God was speaking through Isaiah was this: if you will let me, I will so move once again. And in those dry riverbeds of your life, I will sweep in and I'll make, listen to what he says, rivers in the desert. What does that speak to us? Think about what a river can do. It brings life, it brings vitality, it brings growth. But have you been by an old dry creek bed? Boy, it's just dried up. You ever felt dried up? Boy, you ever felt like, boy, I wish I could shout, but I don't know how my shout's gone. I wish I could smile, but my smile's gone. I wish I could get moved by the Holy Spirit, but it seems like something's going on in my life. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You just hang on. God's doing a new thing. God wants to remove the things in our life. God wants to restore the joy of our salvation. I'm here to tell you, it's high time we get back to having some joy in our salvation. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, I just think sometimes I want to look at our people. I love our people. I do. I love our people. But every now and then I thought, well, I wonder if they could just see what I see on Sunday morning. Now, I know folks got issues and problems. But see, we all get all fired up and excited about Easter. Can I help you? Let me just bring you in this evening. Easter is sort of be celebrated every Sunday. He's alive. He's not just alive on Easter. Amen?
Amen.
He's alive every Sunday. You ever been around stagnant water?
Yes.
Boy, it gets almost a smell to it, doesn't it? He says, you've been like stagnant water. He said, but I want to bring rivers in the desert. I want to bring something so pure and make a way in the wilderness. I'm here to tell you, sometimes this world can make us feel like we're in a wilderness. But if I could just encourage you to hang on, the Word of God says He's doing a new thing. He's doing a fresh start. He's wanting to do something in our life. It's a new growth. Look what He says here in verse 19. He says, "Now it shall spring forth." That means to sprout. It means new growth. I got to thinking about this. My wife's a pre-K teacher. Matter of fact, that's why she's not with me tonight. She was asked to go and speak at a conference and as a pre-K teacher and speak there tonight, so she's doing that. But she likes to get every year at some point, usually this time of the year, get something to let those kids see a seed coming out. And she likes to get those clear cups. Y'all with me? Y'all understand where I'm headed with this?
Yeah.
And you get those clear cups, you can see some stuff that you normally don't get to see when you just put it up, when you're just looking down on the ground. When you got that clear cup, you can see that seed doing some stuff before it ever comes out of the ground. You can see it start to break loose. You can see it start to sprout. But see, if that clear cup wasn't there and you couldn't be able to look through it, you think that thing was dead. It's never coming out. I am going to come down here, not to scare you, but just want to bring you in. Listen. Sometimes we get discouraged because we think God's not at work. Sometimes we want to throw in the towel because it seems like, you know, God, I'm doing all I know to do. I am praying. I'm inviting folks. I am praying for people in my family to see a breakthrough happen in their life. And it just don't seem like anything's happening, Lord. Isaiah said, it's springing forth and you just don't know it. In other words, God's at work. What if we were just about to see a breakthrough and we give up? What if we were just about to see God do something like He's never done before? What if we were just about to see on the verge of revival and we gave up? Oh, child of God, don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. God's at work even when you don't realize it. God's working in the hearts of people. Sometimes as a pastor, and I know these men can attest to this, I've had to pray and ask God to help me because there have been times that I thought if I was giving away gas cards, I couldn't get people to come to the altar. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, I could some Sundays I feel like if I just said, if you loved your mom, I couldn't get by you to come down. You know what I'm saying? But I've had to realize and come to grips with this. God's doing something in the heart of people. That's up to Him. Amen? It's His work. He said, I'm at work. Don't lose hope. I'm at work. I'm doing something and you don't even realize it. He said, it's about to spring forth. He says, and when I do, I'll bring the flood. I'll bring the things to do. But here's the bottom line. God has the power to do a fresh work in our heart. But now here's our part. There's a sad statement made in verse 22. I mean, boy, this passage is full of hope, isn't it? God said, look at the power. I'm your King. I'm your Creator. I'm your Lord. Look what I've done in the past. Look what I'm wanting to do in the future. I know you think I'm done with you, but I'm going to lead you out of captivity, and I'm going to bless you if you'll let me. Look at verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. We can hinder the fresh move of God if we neglect to call upon Him.
Yeah.
We can hinder if we neglect, it says in verse 19, shall you not know it? That word know speaks of an intimacy. It speaks of a total embrace. You know what Isaiah was saying? Some of you are not willing to embrace what God's wanting to do in your life right now.
Right.
You're not willing to embrace what God's wanting to do right now in your heart. Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me real quick. I want you to just answer this question for me. There's not a one of us in this place that don't have what I call God stories. Moments that we can sit and go, I'm telling you, that was when God came through in my life. That was a moment when God showed up. That was a moment when I saw God do something supernatural in my life. But let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me. I want to ask you a pointed question. How old are your God stories? How old are your God stories? See, we got to be willing to embrace Him now.
Yeah.
And say, God, I want you to do something now in my life. And as you know, if we're not willing to embrace it and call upon Him, son, it's like a kink in a water hose. The water's there, but we've kinked the Holy Spirit and the flow can't get where God wants it to. See, preacher, that's not biblical. Oh, yeah, the Bible says we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Right. Yeah.
So what do we do, preacher? We call upon Him.
Yeah.
We seek the heart of God. You see, we can't force revival. We can't work up a renewal in our heart. But I tell you what we can do. We can seek the heart of God. We can beg and plead God. We can summon God. That word call means to summon Him. It means to say, God, we need You. God, we need You now. God, we need You to work in our life. Work in our marriages. Work in the communities. I'm telling you, there's lost people around Robertstown that need Jesus. There's lost people around Pleasant Hill. There's lost people in White County and Hall County and Habersham County. There's families that they're saved. They're not where they ought to be. There's families that are saved, but they're being torn apart. I'm here to tell you, our God's able. We got to summon Him.
Amen.
To come to where we are.
Yeah.
And then we've got to embrace and be willing to say, yes, Lord, do a fresh work in me. God, do something in me only You can. In my life, let it begin in me. You know, we are in different times. My dad, Donnie Wilkes, some of you may know him. He's been in these areas, these parts, and preached. And he's a dear, dear encourager in my life as my father, but also pastoring the years that he did. We talk often about how times have changed. We talk often about it. He'll say, Michael, you know, it's just a different day than it was when I was pastoring. It's harder sometimes. Boy, that's the truth. There's just a lot out there, isn't there? I mean, it really, I'm not diminishing that things are tougher and times are harder. I'm not diminishing that lost people no longer just come in our doors the way they used to, Brother Greg. Used to. You have revival, folks that just come. Amen. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
We don't diminish the fact that there's more things to draw people away, and there's seems like a tougher time. It seems like the devil's on the rampage. But did you know? The darker the night, the brighter the light can become. I was sitting in my office right there. I just have a little office right outside the sanctuary there at the church on a Wednesday night, right before their meal. And I was contemplating a lot of this stuff in my heart. I tell you, I love the local church. I really do. Well, I thank God for the Pleasant Hills of the world and the churches all around, Brother Paul's church and other churches that might be here represented in. Up at center. I just thank God for the local church. I really do. I don't know about you, but every one of us that are saved tonight, even if you weren't saved in a church, a local church had an influence on your life.
Yeah.
I was saved in the local church, called to preach in the local church, baptized in the local church, married in the local church, ordained, preached. I told my sweet wife that if I die before her, you tell Ricky Barrett, do not take me to that chapel. Take me to a church. Really? But you know what the world's saying? And some of us, listen to me, have bought into this lie. The church is dying, is dead, and is no use in the world we're living in. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. The Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I was ciphering on that one afternoon, that Wednesday. I was a little discouraged. I'm going to be real honest with you. I got to listening to a song. Our youth choir, when my dad was pastor at Center Grove, and I'm almost done. Just hang with me. I need to give you the backstory to why I'm passionate about what I'm preaching. I was listening to a song that our youth choir used to sing. And it got me to thinking about that. It was Leave It All Behind. Leave It All Behind. Some happy day. And I got to singing that. And I went back to that time when my dad was pastoring. We were singing that song. We were just a group of teenagers and young people. But you know what happened during that time and that season at that church? When somebody came to the altar, it wasn't the adults, it was the young people that hit that altar. Every Sunday, I can remember as a 13-year-old boy that every Sunday it seemed like somebody was getting saved at that church. I remember seeing whole families come to church and get saved. And I was sitting there in my office and I said this. I made this statement out loud. Lord, I'll never see those days again. Lord, my daughter will never know what it's like to be in a service were people that was lost and so convicted by God they had to come to the altar. Where people would cry out to God to be saved. Where people would cry out for their loved ones and shed tears on that altar. God, my daughter will never know what that's like. And I did what I tell our people not to do. And that's just open the Bible and put your finger on something. I tell them not to do that. That's not the best way to do it. But I'm going to tell you what I did at that day. I was starting to get flat discouraged. Y'all ever been there? And I just said, Lord, I need to hear from you. Opened up to Isaiah 43. So help me. God took me right to that verse. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a loud, audible voice. It was deeper than that and sweeter than that. When I could hear the voice of God, my God, if you'll let me. Don't get so wrapped up in what I've done that you forget I'm still God and I can do it now. But you've got to embrace me and you've got to call out to me. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, as preacher, you seeing revival? I'm seeing semblance revivals in places here and there. But I'm not giving up hope. I'm believing my God's still able. And I believe he's able. Listen, God's not giving up at Center Baptist. God's not giving up on your church. God's not giving up on Pleasant Hill. God's not giving up on every church in the corner. I'm telling you, God's not done yet. But let us call upon him. Let us embrace his power and his strength. And let us cry as the psalmist, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in you. God's wanting to do a new thing, Pleasant Hill. I'm not talking about some newfangled things. No, I'm talking about a new thing in a sense of a refreshing, revival, move of God. If we'll embrace and call upon him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. You've been so gracious and so kind. As I preached longer than I intended, but God knows my heart. I'm asking to come get a song ready if they would. A song of invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to pray with you and pray for you. As they come in just a moment to sing, I just want to ask you to be honest with God tonight. And if you've never been saved by God's amazing grace, I would beg of you and I would plead of you to come. Oh, none of us here can save you, but we can point you to the one who can. If you'll come tonight, if he's pleading and you know that you're lost. But oh, I dare say there'd be a church, many here tonight that would say, oh, Michael, I know that I'm saved. Would you, the saved of God, be willing to come if you're physically able to come and bow on this altar and say, oh, God, I want to embrace what you want to do in my life. Oh, God, I want to call and summons you that you might send revival to my heart, that I might see you working in a fresh way. Oh, God, before we can ever send revival to this church, God, send revival to me. If that be your heart, if you're not able, maybe just right there we are, make your pew an altar. And let's just call out to God as God leads tonight. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing. Your pastor, Brother Greg, will be standing here. If you have a need tonight, you come. As God so leads, I pray. Father, I ask you now to move in this time of invitation. I ask you, God, to speak to your people. And I pray if there's anybody here that's lost, Lord, they'd be saved before it's everlasting too late. And I pray, God, have your way in this service, in this invitation time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand for Greg? What's your number?
Red Book 164.
See God bring revival. Would you come if God so leads? God so leads on your heart. Would you come to us?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest in the blood and the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, be washed.